Yeah.
All right. I want to start out by saying I've never attended a congregation that I found myself longing to come back and worship with till I feel guilt. I mean, I have congregations that I worship with, but I've never found that longing spirit to want to be away from the congregation and the people and the fellowship and the love that's found here, and to literally long to come back and be with you all. And so I found myself this week feeling that way a bit, and it just goes to show the work of the church here is right. The work of the church is love, and that I think we all feel that from one another. The second thing is, it's been a 2-year journey with my mom. Most of you know her situation. She fell down the basement stairs and fractured like 13 ribs and broke her elbow. And she's been on a respirator for like 19 months. And we had almost resolved that she would never be able to come home. Well, through some inspiration, Papa and my dad died. We're up there. We were doing some work there. He bought her a book. And she had told me this, and she told him that as well, but he bought her a book of inspiration, and she said she was reading that book, and she decided that everybody faces struggles, and she was going to have to fight to overcome her, and she began to fight, and she did. This past week, they took her off the respirator, they pulled it out, the trachea, and she breathing fully on her own, knowing for the first time. I've seen you in 2 years without any tubes. And they told her that when it heals up, when the holes here will heal up and grow, she'll probably be able to go home. So I just want to thank you for the cards and the prayers and the thoughts. And I want to especially thank Papa, because he's come up to see her a couple times. And to be with me. And this week he came up again. And I got up there on Saturday. He came up by the Thursday after all of his work, and joined me, and we did her bedroom from the 1970s. Was the last time really I think her bedroom has ever changed from the look of it. Wouldn't you say? She used to have a water bed in there. It's an old house that had little plasterboard walls. We were able to finally, after a couple of 2 or 3 days, get it completely stripped. And of course, there were holes in the wall and cracks in the wall, everything behind it. And now I don't know why the wallpaper is. Was that, you know, he was a murderer, he was an adulterer, come into the understanding of why David is called the man after God's own heart. And so I'm taking the idea of the five smooth stones. I don't know why they chose to pick smooth stones. I believe he had probably the best guidance system in the world. He had his own smart bomb, because we know that it wasn't really the sling in David that was the power behind the shot. We know that it had a heavenly guidance to its mark. And I guess he could pick up jagged stones or smooth stones, but since he picked up five smooth stones, so I just decided, well, I'm going to make 5 points, and I'll use the stones as the points. And I'm not going to get into, we know David as the shepherd, we know David as the king, we know David as the defender of God, we know David as the adulterer, as the murderer, for a lot of different things. And so the lesson could go on for days. I didn't want to, but it could go on for days with who David is. You know, David, if David was the last day, he'd probably be Pentecostal or Baptist, because he played every morning and he danced with the Lord. But we won't get into that today. Today we're going to look at David in some different ways. If I can get this. Okay, so the first stone is fortitude. What is fortitude? Did anyone tell me? What does the word fortitude mean? You can participate.
Staying with it.
Do what?
Staying with it.
Staying with it. Okay, what else? Anybody?
Drive.
Okay, fortitude is drive. And I looked it up. It said it's mental and emotional strength in the face of difficulty or adversity or danger or facing temptation courageously. That's fortitude. David, one of the things that makes David a man after God's own heart is his fortitude. The fact that he was not afraid in the face of danger to stand up and say what he thought, say what he believed, and act upon it. He was very fortuitous in this way. You know, when he took his, you know, when he grabbed the lion by the beard, or by the mane, and the bear by the beard, you know, he did that with fortitude. He took what he believed seriously. He was a shepherd boy. And he believed that he could do anything through the strength of God. At some point, his daddy raised him up right. You know, he came from a good family line. You know, grandma was Ruth, you know, and great-grandmother was Ruth. And he had seven other brothers. He was the baby of the family. And so, but somewhere along the line, he was raised right. He was raised to believe in God. He was raised to worship God. And I can just imagine the picture of David sitting out there amongst the sheep, playing on his harp, singing to God, and soothing his sheep as he sat out there by himself, teaching himself probably how to play that instrument and just using it to tell God how he felt. Now, when we read the book of Psalms, we see David pouring out his heart in all different forms and fashions, you know, whether it was thanking God for what God has done for him, whether it was asking God not to help him through difficult times, or whether it was telling God how much he loved what God has done for him. You know, David was a very heartfelt type of person. He was very emotional, I guess you could say. Where did he find the strength to do all that? Well, it was inside of him. And God decided he was going to use this man, this boy, to do great things. David had the fortitude to majority of the people were just, you know, were afraid. They would not step up and face the giants. And yet David says, why do you let this giant talk to God's people? Why do you let him say bad things about your God? How can you stand here and do nothing about it? And he says, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to take this giant out. I'm going to whip on this giant, you know, in the name of God. And of course, King Saul, you know, I mean, he was standing back there behind his men. And he says, well, if you're sure you want to do that, you know, he's pretty big. He says, there's nothing bigger than God. God will bring you the victory. And so Saul says, well, here's my helmet, here's my chainmail, here's my armor, put this on, and here's my sword. And David said, I don't need that. That would show my lack of faith that God was going to take care of it. It's kind of like the story of Gideon. You know, David didn't need the armor, David didn't need the helmet, David didn't need the sword to go to the will of God. He didn't need things that were part. These were just things that were out there that weren't part of the solution. The solution was to stand up for God. And so when David goes out there to slay the giant, he takes none of that. He goes out there with fortitude and faith. In 2 Corinthians 10, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds. It's not about equipping yourself with worldly things to fight God's battle. You have to go out there and fight with your heart. Aggression. David did not stand on the sidelines and watch this stuff going on. He stood up and went forward. He was aggressive in attacking what was attacking what was going against God. You know, we live in a society that attacks God all the time. And sometimes we find ourselves sitting back and wondering, you know, not liking it, but not doing anything about it. David took a stance. David did not sit on the sidelines, but he was aggressive in nature. And the Israelites, they were afraid to stand up for what they believed. David did not have that. He had a relationship with God. It was not something that he just did. It was something that he was. It was who he was. And I can't imagine David not knowing, not for a second, that God was going to be with him. He tells us, he told Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. Believers aren't always to be passive. Believers have to sometimes stand up and fight the Philistines in this world and take on those that threaten our God and those that threaten our faith. We have to sometimes take the fight to the enemy instead of standing by. Initiative. The third stone, moonstone, we're going to talk about. It's defined an introductory act or step, leading action, readiness, ability to initiate action, one's personal responsibility, decision. The battle was at the standoff. There was nobody winning. They were on one side taunting the Israelites. The Israelites were on the other side, and there was no end. And once a day, the giant would come out, and he would challenge them. And David drew the line in the sand. David recognized that by facing this giant, that it was going to change the whole outlook of the situation. You know, think about what happened at the time David killed the Goliath. What did the Israelite army do? They got confidence, and they began to chase chased the Philistines. It took one person, one leader, to step up and do what God wanted them to do to inspire a whole nation. You know, sometimes we don't realize the impact that we can have on our nation, the impact that we can have on people who are just waiting for somebody to step up and be the one to lead them into the battle against sin. And David was this initiator. He took it upon himself on behalf of God to slay the giant and show people that with God, all things are possible. And how did they react? They saw what he was able to do against this giant. And they began to believe that the power of God was with them. Their faith was weak. That they wouldn't stand up. Sometimes our faith is weak. We're looking for someone to initiate it. Well, at least sometimes we need to be the initiators. Sometimes we need to be the one to say, come on, let's go do this. Come on, let's go get this done. Come on, let's go conquer this giant that stands up against us. The thing about it is the courage that he had to step out. You know, it takes putting yourself out there. David didn't step out, and then the entire Israelite army came up with him, behind him. David walked out there in the field on his own, knowing that nobody was with him but God. And that was enough. You know, I can just see him pick up the spies with stones. And, you know, and I've always wondered, why did he choose five stones? And I was reading some about it. Turns out Goliath had four other brothers. And it's possible that David was picking up five smooth stones just in case the brothers came to back up their big brother Goliath. But I don't know. I don't think that's necessarily the reason. But he picked up five smooth stones and put them in his pouch. And if that was the case, you know, he's pretty confident that the guy was going to take care of making sure the shot marked. David said, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when the lion or a bear came and took out a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by the spear and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. This Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. There was no lack of confidence or devotion that David had for who God, how God was going to work, how God was working in his life. You know, he stepped out and just like 110% knew God was going to be with him. How often do we sometimes question whether God is going to be with us in the things that we do, the decisions that we have to make, the initiatives that we should be taking? You know, that's, I think, why we kind of, you know, we're kind of like the Israelites, and we sit back on the sidelines sometimes instead of taking that initiative. We don't really believe that God is with us. That's a lack of faith. I mean, we have to believe that God is with us. We know that this world is going to pass. We know that this world is fleeting. We know that this world is but a vapor. And so, why worry what's going to happen to us in this world if our faith leads us to believe and to know that God is with us, and that he will guide us, to have the strength to step out no matter what, no matter what the situation is, even if it's life-threatening, knowing that God is with us because we know we have a reward that's greater. We know that we can be victorious if we use the name of God for us. You know, it says, one of the scriptures tells us, out of that name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Okay? David was not going to let somebody blaspheme his God. He talked bad about his God. tells that, that there were times where we would go to any class today. In the law, God gave to Moses that he knew that they're going to want a king, and that king was so he set down guidelines for the king. Well, the guidelines for the king were things like this: that he wasn't supposed to have too much money or too many possessions. He was not to have many wives. He was not to he was to write down his dedication toward God, his mission for God. And Richard and I were talking that we didn't, none of those can be seen in any of the kings, the good and the bad kings. You know, if David had done that, if David had kept his focus, a lot of the things that he fell into, he wouldn't have fallen into. Sometimes we lose track of our focus. David did. He lost track of his focus. He began, when he began to think about himself, he began to think about how powerful he was. At the same time, David had fears, just like we have fears. David hid from Saul because Saul was trying to kill him. David never lifted a finger against Saul, even though Saul sought to kill him, because God had chosen Saul originally. And he was not going to lift his finger against anything that God has chosen. And but he feared Saul. Lost track of what I was going to say next. His testimony was that I'm going to try to do. I'm going to do my very best to serve my God. When God is in our forefront, we serve. When we put God before making decisions, always before the things we choose to do, then our lives are going to go right, even though the world around us may make it look like it's going wrong. You know, that from a spiritual standpoint, we're going to be in the right place. We're going to be in the right position. But the thing that kind of convinced me that David was a man after God's own heart was in reading a lot of the Psalms. I saw that a lot of things, the Acts and the life of David lived. You know, and as a leader of God's people, you know, the pressure that he was under must have been amazing. Unbearable at times, but he looked to God for that strength. But the thing that made him the most a man after God's own heart was that he was not afraid to say, "I messed up. I'm sorry. I know I did wrong." I think this is the essence of who David was. He had a tender heart. He always had a tender heart. And when he was bound to make a mistake, even the big mistakes, he was not too prideful to humble himself before God and say, I messed up. Please forgive me. And that comes by last. Help. We have a helper that's always there. David shows us that God is our helper. That we can go to him at any time. David did it through song. David did it through poems. David did it through prayer. And the thing about David was that he meant it. It was from the heart. And that when he requested of God, he was doing that from the heart. You know, there's no sin that God can't forgive if it comes from the heart. There's no transgression that we've ever committed. And I've known people who have said that, you know, God can't love me. I've just been too bad. know, Jimmy could probably attest to that through the prison ministry that he works with. Now, some of the stories he hears from some of the men that he's teaching, you know, probably horrible things. Probably things that unless you get to understand what God is all about, you would feel that there's no way that you could come back from some of those things. But David did. And that's what made him a man after God's own heart, is that he was willing to admit his mistakes. He was willing to ask forgiveness. And he was willing to straighten himself up. Okay? And not just use words to say I'm sorry, but use actions to say I'm sorry. And humble himself before God at all times. And so I find comfort in reading the Psalms. I find courage in reading the Psalms. I find fortitude in reading the Psalms. I find initiative in reading the Psalms. Because I get a really good glimpse of who David was, the man after God's own heart. When you think about all those things that I put up there, your fortitude and his aggressive nature to stand up and go out and do something about it, take the initiative to be able to have a testimony to show that he was a man who followed God, and to seek God's help when in his weakness. That is faith. That is faith. David was a man after God's own heart because he, bottom line, was faithful. He was faithful. Even though he did bad things, he remained faithful. He trusted in God. He knew God. He accepted the punishments of God. And God did punish David. You know, if you're going to do the crime, you got to do the time. Anyway, if you're going to do the crime, you got to, there's always a penalty for a crime. But you pay the penance. And God says to you, he'll remember it no more. It's no more a part of what God looks at. Once God's forgiven you, he's wiped it away because it didn't exist in heaven. And it doesn't matter. You know, we tend to think of a part of levels, oh, this is a kind of a small lie. Oh, this is a medium lie. This is a what? This is a big lie. Now, we kind of think in terms of degrees. I don't think God thinks in terms of degrees. I think of God as, and I use this illustration sometimes, I think of God as like jumping in a pool. Either you're in the pool or you're not in the pool. There's no in between. You know, you're either surrounded by God, or you're not in God, you know. And when we make that commitment to be surrounded by God, then we have to let our faith work. And the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. David was never afraid to face the giants. He was never afraid to face the enemy because his thought was, what can they do to me? The scripture tells us, don't fear the man who killed the body. Fear the man who killed the body and the soul. I think we think too much about our bodies. Personally, I look forward to a new body one day. But, you know, there's nothing in this world that can stop us if we face the world like David faced the world. And I hope that, and I've gained a new respect for who David was. I now understand what it means to be a man after God's own heart. He was after he was literally going after God's heart. I mean, it was a fortitude initiative that he was taking. He was going to do what it took to have know, David, and I'm probably better than I do, but know this. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. You know, there's a line in there that talks about the penitent man. And he's going into these three trials. In order to get through these trials, he has to think of, he has to figure out what these sayings mean. And he's coming up to this first one. He says, the penitent man bows and humbles himself before God. Okay? That's what they did. Probably where Indiana Jones got. No, he would bow himself before God. He would humble himself before God. And we read in one of the Psalms, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord.
And he will lift
you up.
He will lift you up. When we bow down before God, God raises us up. And our approach needs to be, that doesn't mean that we're timid in this world. That means that we're courageous in this world. That means that we take initiative. We have fortitude. And at the end of this life, that our testimony, when people see the life that we live, should be that we humbled ourselves before God and He lifted us up. Let's pray. Dear Lord, just thank you so much that we have your scriptures, that we can learn how to live by reading your scriptures, by seeing the examples and the testimonies of the people that you put there, and both the good and the bad, to know what to avoid and to know what to work toward. We thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate example for our lives. Help us to stand before you and be able to hear you say that we were a person after your own heart when the time comes to stand before you. Lord, just thank you for every heart in this room, and help us our hearts to join together to praise you and glorify you, and be the Davids in this world that we face each day. Not live the carnal man, but live the spiritual man. In Jesus' name, amen.
Number 18. Let's all stand and sing.
Faithful love flowing down.